just me. Girl, you gotta dance, dance and shake your brain.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
One in the books. Still 2 hours to go with the big show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on an FEF Friday. Having some fun with you guys. And, of course, a lot of F for football. Texans and Lions tomorrow night from NRG, so therefore Cody Stutes has been here, done that. Sarah Barshop, the beat writer for the Texans for ESPN, will be joining us 3:30 as we continue to roll through lots of topics. This is a topic I had on the list. I'm glad you brought it up, Barry, because I want to get into it. I heard Nick get into it a little bit driving in. I've got plenty on this. I'm sure you do too. But
well, I'll let you set it up.
Daryl was on a podcast. Because Daryl can't get enough of Daryl and a microphone. And Daryl,
would you say he has a Usual Suspects level ego?
Oh, it's way above that. It far supersedes that. It is more like Sergeant Sensitive type of ego. And I think that at the same time, the big thing about it's like there's a sometimes you just want to hear your own voice. You want to stir it up. So he's on this podcast, and he basically makes the statement, and you kind of – he's an intelligent guy. So he words
it – very smart.
Very strategically.
Yes.
But he words it in a way as if to say people – their first takeaway is he thinks James Harden's better than Michael Jordan. But essentially, this was the quote that he had during the podcast.
You know, someone asked me who's a better scorer, him or Michael Jordan. And it's just factual that James Harden is a better scorer than Michael Jordan.
Based on literally, like you give
James Harden the ball, and before you're giving up the ball, how many points do you generate, which is how you should measure offense. James Harden is by far number one in NBA history, and he was number one even at the Oklahoma City Thunder. So we knew he had that amazing skill to be a scorer.
Yeah, people probably aren't going to like you saying that.
No, people hate it. Now, the counter argument is reasonable. They say if you put Michael Jordan on a team now, he would do more than James Harden. That's possible. But if you're just saying like NBA history, how much, if you give this guy the ball, how much does his team score after you give him the ball before the other team gets the ball? It's James Harden.
You guys go first.
He is dancing a little bit around it, but I mean, you can't deny that one-on-one, he's one of the best ever at one-on-one basketball, having to guard him. There's no denying that, but there's a lot more to it than that. There's a different era, and you have to remember that Jordan had the rings, and, you know, I mean, you can even talk about supporting cast and who had what, and Harden's had his opportunities with other stars on the team. I understand what he's saying because by the numbers, he's right. But like you always tell me, sometimes the numbers are accurate, but they don't tell the whole story.
The eye test.
You've got to use the eye test and other things. So I get what Daryl's doing. He's going to go to the mat for his guy, and he's going to make a point. Like you said, it's a good talking point. But
I mean, I won't be too long because I gave a lot of my thoughts on the Polillo show. I'd like to think that he is going to be going. He's going to go down as one of the best scorers ever to play the game. Is he a better scorer than Michael Jordan? I said it's so hard to compare considering the eras. That's obviously a cheap cop out. The physicality was different. The social media era that we live in now, and I do agree with Maury. I mean, he did kind of admit to the fact that, yeah, he probably could possibly score more had he played in this era. It's just really hard to really define that. There's no question in my mind that I believe he's a better player.
Who's the better player?
That Michael Jordan is the better player, but at least as of right now, Harden's career is...
But his point wasn't it's better about the score.
I still think that Michael Jordan is also still a better scorer. Harden is just going to go down as one of the best.
So here's a couple things. One, Daryl's a smart guy. We know that. But the way he frames everything is basically like he's telling you. So he basically, in one of those comments, said, it's just, you know, you look at the possessions and the way when once you touch the ball before the defense touches the ball, it's who scores. And that's just how you measure offense. No, there's lots of ways to measure offense. And I think much like when we have these just painful discussions about the greatest of all time. I think, Nick, you touched on it. You separate it by either decades or styles of play. So you can go back to the decades where Jordan played, and hands down, he was the greatest scorer in the league. But again, rules change, the hand check, the physicality, the way that when analytics got involved, it was threes and layups, changes a lot of things. I'm not trying to take anything away from James Harden because, like you guys said, look, bottom line is just scoring the basketball, he's effective. But I would also beg to differ in terms of when you want to compare one guy and say he's better than the other. You can factor it in, like you said, Barry, with the numbers that said when you're scoring the basketball and how he calculates it, why once a team takes possession, I'd also put into effect a variable that's called pressure and say, how did you score the basketball when the game was on the line? Or the game was within 5 points with 3 minutes to go in the game, because they like to break down all different variables. The variables to me are, how'd you do it in the playoffs? How'd you do it in clutch and crunch time? How'd you do it when there was a lot of stress on the situation? Because now you're talking about a whole different animal, because we know what Michael did and we know what James has done to this point. But again, I'm not trying to take away from James Harden. I just don't like... There is no reason at this point in time for anyone like Daryl Morey to be out here with the soul. Let's not candy coat this. He's doing this for attention.
Sure.
Because this is getting run all over the place. And Daryl is an attention whore with the media. He loves to be the focus. So then all he wants to do is just, and look, I want you to promote your guy. But let's be realistic, okay? Because when we talk about the greatest of all time, arguably, and then we talk about James Harden, there's a big difference, but I get it. In this era, in this day and age, the way the game is played, James is maximizing what he's got, what he's doing with the ball.
I'd like to think that if Michael Jordan was playing in a three-point shooting era, that he's going to take the bulk of them, and I think he's going to make some shots. I think he's going to have plenty of 25. I mean, he's not necessarily known as the best three-point shooter, but I'm just saying that. I think he's still going to, if he's playing in this style of play, he's going to take a lot of three-point shots. So he's obviously going to get the points.
So, but here's the other thing, Nick. But one real quick, Michael wasn't a 3-point shooter. Okay, he could, but he didn't make himself that way. And the other thing that I think separates Michael on a different level is Michael didn't want to score every time he touched the ball. Michael wanted to win, and his desire to win overtook everything else. So if he had other guys that were making shots that they were hot, he was happy to send them the ball. But if it meant the difference between winning and losing, he was going to score.
How many more seasons do you think James Harden plays? How many more seasons?
From now through the end of his career, how old is he?
He's 29.
Oh, I think he plays.
And he's almost, actually, his birthday is August 26th, so he'll turn 30 before the season starts.
I'd say 6, 7.
Well, interesting you say that, because by my numbers, and I'm not going to go all Mike Francesa on you and do the math on air.
Please do.
But by my numbers, James Harden has to average 2,000 points a game and play 80.
A year,
2,000 points a year, playing 80 games.
Okay.
So he's scoring 24 a game right now. So I figured, let's say he plays 80 games a year and averages 24 points a game. That's 2,000. He's going to have to play 7 years of averaging 2,000 points a year to catch Michael Jordan. Not passing, but catching. And you're saying he's probably got 6 left in him. And we all know as you get older, it's going to decline. So you can have the discussions all you want, but he may not even pass Michael Jordan on the all-time leading scorer list. And Jordan's 5th. LeBron's already passed him.
Guess who sat out 2 years to play baseball?
Mm-hmm.
So you factor that into it too. But on the flip side, Harden is going to have a couple of years where he probably scores 9 or 10 more points a game than that 24. So in the next couple of years, depending on how he and Westbrook work this 30. Thing out, yeah. So you,
but I took his points per game average,
sure,
and the fact that he's playing around 80 games a year. And then round it up. So it was really something like 19, but I just rounded up to he's got to score 2,000 a year for the next 7 years to tie Jordan.
Man.
That's a lot.
So, I mean, that's the kind of stuff you need to digest the entire argument instead of just hearing him do this on a podcast like that and then have it blow up. But that's the one thing, some of the variables I wanted to get out there, because I know these guys and I know them well. And I know that as much as Daryl downplays and likes to take shots at others for doing interviews and being in the media, he loves this stuff.
Sure.
And he's on the Daryl Morey World Tour right now, where he's on the left coast and he's following Russell Westbrook around and filming practices and tweeting it and making appearances on shows and podcasts. And
wouldn't you be, though, if you just landed Russell Westbrook?
No.
Yeah.
If I'm a general manager, I'm not tweeting like that. And I'm not doing those kind of things. And you know what? I'm trying to
make
sure. You know what I'm working on right now? I'm working on Andre Iguodala. Now, I am an egomaniac, so at some point it probably is going to take over.
Your ego, and you'll be... I'm not going to lie. If I'm Daryl Morey, and I just landed Russell Westbrook, and I have the greatest offensive scorer on the planet right now, mm-hmm. I'm probably out there doing this stuff. I don't mind
I support my guy, but I'm not making statements like this.
I don't mind it either because you have to have your players back, and when you're having conversations about the greatest, it's okay to make the point because, again... His point about the statistics is valid. It's valid.
But it's one thing to have your guys back. I can say James Harden right now is the greatest scorer in the game today.
Sure.
But I know that the reaction is going to be totally different, and the run that it's going to get is going to be on a greater scale if I say he's better than Michael Jordan.
Well, I mean, you know.
Did you hear Daryl's opening up at the Improv tomorrow night in L.A. for about two nights? But he's not trying to get any exposure. All right, we're going to continue to roll on. Just wanted to get that out of the way. We've got lots more coming up on the show today, including Sarah Barshop, the beat writer for the Texans for ESPN. And coming up next, we're going to have Courtney join us. You know Courtney as our marketing and promotions extraordinaire, as she did a heck of a job last night with the party. We're going to do a party recap next with Courtney and some other things. So make sure you join us for that and a whole lot more. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. He was wearing a hammer.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, rolling through hour number two of the show. It's The Usual Suspects on an F, yeah, Friday. F for fun, coming off of our big listener appreciation party last night. So we thought it would be apropos if we checked in with the queen of fun here at Gal Media and ESPN 97.5. As Courtney, who was responsible for the festivities and all the details last night, is joining us. So if you want to join with us, you can check us out on Twitch, because now it's worth looking at, as opposed to when we were just on by ourselves.
Speak for yourself, pal.
So sweet.
Courtney?
Yes.
So that was a huge undertaking for you. And I knew you were running around all day like a chicken with your head cut off. But at the end of the day, when you look back at the event, was there anything that happened that you didn't expect?
Yeah, the air conditioning that we purchased did not work like I thought it would.
Yeah,
that's the worst thing that happened.
Right.
I mean, kudos to you and to your team.
Thank you.
Because this was when we do stuff like this, you know, you've been in this business for a while too. You know that a lot of times the expectations aren't necessarily met.
Yeah.
For both sides. Listeners show up and it's not as fun as they expected it to be. The staff shows up. We don't have as much fun. I don't think that that's the case. Aside from maybe one person.
Yeah. Just one?
I think everyone had a great time. And I think everyone left happy.
I do too.
And that's because of you and your team.
Oh, God.
It really is.
He's right.
I mean, I wasn't even expecting to have fun. I really wasn't. I was like, but the way it was set up, the atmosphere, the way that you had things running, it worked.
Aww.
And it was outstanding.
And I'll say this. The other thing that I think that was important was we can't make everybody happy. We can't invite everybody that listens to the station to the party. But I think based on what we saw from who we were interacting with, mm-hmm. we got the right cross section of people too. Yeah. So the giveaways within the shows, as well as us being able to invite a few, I think that was the right mix.
Yeah, definitely.
What would you do differently, besides the air conditioning, if there was anything you can change for next year?
Strippers.
Bigger signage. That's one thing on my list.
Okay.
Just so people...
I thought it was, like, from last year to this year, you had more food.
We did.
Better selection.
We had things spread out more so that it wasn't all in one area, so the lines didn't get so congested.
Sure.
And we had security here.
Which was big.
There wasn't security last year.
Right.
Police. Yeah, I have a few things.
Now, the shirts were popular, but let's can we clear the air once and for all that we are not Eagle Maniacs?
There we go.
You're not. No, the thing about the shirts is that I didn't want to pass them out to everybody because there was a misprint on the shirts. They don't have our ESPN logo on them. We found that I found that out a day before the party. So I'm not going to hand those out to everybody without our logo on them. I did just get back from dropping them off, so we will have them in a few days. And then I will give them to everybody, every suspect, not everybody, every suspect.
See, you got to be particular about that.
Yes,
because
every suspect.
That's key. Because there was a nasty rumor out there that we demanded these shirts and that we were egomaniacs, when in fact we know from the holiday party last year that listeners were the ones that started the whole.
I like that she goes, uproar. Well.
I did get grilled pretty hard about
the discussion, this was before you got hired, right? So once the discussion happened at the holiday party and Todd was cornered, then once you were hired, we're like, well, there's your number one priority because people are already hammering us that we need to see him.
Yes, and we delivered.
We thank you for making it happen. The suspects thank you for making it happen. That was it was awesome.
Great to meet your family last night.
Oh, yeah.
Your fiance, your parents. It was a family affair. It was great. Did you get a pick me?
I did, yes.
There you go.
I did.
With them or with others or both?
No, the four of us.
Okay. Yeah. Wait, the four. I didn't meet the fourth.
My mom, my dad.
Yeah, you didn't introduce me to your mom. You embarrassed of us?
Yes, you did.
I met your dad.
Oh, I met her mom.
I met your fiance.
We talked.
You definitely met my mom.
Nope.
She's like 5 foot nothing. Yeah. You probably missed
Never
her.
Met your mom.
Little.
Thanks, though. That's how it is. We're there now. Okay.
Yeah, me and mom talked for quite a while, Barry.
Oh, okay. You know what? You and your ego.
Just letting you know,
chill
buddy.
Over there.
You know? Just letting you know.
At my family function, you'll be there, so you'll meet her.
So one of the...
that face! Oh, my God!
One of the pointers that listeners and suspects are giving us to take into consideration for next year, too, is to have cheers available on the way out.
Oh.
You know, I actually thought about that. I wanted them there. That would be, the best idea.
Yeah, because there are people that didn't take it that were not so good today on Twitter.
Yes.
There's a lot of hungover people.
Yeah. Which is actually a good thing. I mean, they had fun.
Right.
I think that's another great thing.
So as far as promotions, where does this rank for you? Oh, as far as size, events, as far as size, and I know, I'm sure it's not the biggest that you've ever done, but as far as were you happy with the way things turned out? Was this a success in your mind?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, as far as things I've done here in Houston, it's the biggest, best thing I've done in Houston.
Okay. Cool.
In Dallas, it was different.
Oh, really? Was it better up there?
No, Barry loves Dallas.
Well, they have their own, cult following.
Oh, they do? It's weird
it's
up there.
Huge up there.
It is weird. Sports Talk Radio up there, as a whole, from a market perspective, is a lot more popular.
Is it true working on Bun B and ZZ Top next year?
See.
Oh, I mean, I'll call them today.
Okay. Well, there you go.
Yeah. I'll get them on the phone now.
I mean, we don't have to do ZZ Top. Just Bun B is
okay.
Good.
Well, there you go. I'm Either just saying, or. Bigger, better, badder next year.
Bun B at the listener party.
Fifth floor.
Yeah. Over the
Lance can make that happen.
I know.
Yeah. So there's just a thought.
Wow, Joel,
You're welcome.
Set the bar
Mr.
too
Gow
high.
Can make that happen.
There you go.
He and Bun B hang out.
I'm pretty sure.
I think Gal would be more of a ZZ Top guy. Or,
just the fact that he was hanging out.
What's the ugly guy
last
that dated a supermodel? That's probably who Gal hangs out with. Who was it? Dwight Yoakam. Who's the
Lyle Lovett.
Gal can make Lyle Lovett happen for sure.
We gave away tickets to see him.
Yes, we have on this show.
Gave away?
Did you have to make sure? What time did Charlie's mom pick him up last night?
Oh, boy.
He was out way past his bedtime.
He was doing so much.
He was.
Every time I saw him, he had a group around him.
Yeah, he did. He's got a lot of groupies.
Yeah, they love him.
Which was
they
cool.
They do. He's a very popular man.
Yep.
At this station, and he just flies under the radar, just doing his thing, being popular, and But I wanted to say thank you. This was outstanding. You did an outstanding job. Why are you here? You should be at home resting. What time did you leave yesterday?
Midnight.
So you left at midnight. You were back here by 9 o'clock.
Yep.
Job never done, right?
Never.
Are you leaving early today?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Probably
right after the show. You're like, can you please end this segment so I can get done?
Yeah.
Oh, no. She's enjoying herself.
Well, everybody needs to go follow you on Twitter and say thank you. What is your Twitter account?
It's @chemistrywithcb.
Because you're a big chemistry fan. You like, you have a chemistry set, and that was your favorite subject.
Bunsen burners. And
it has nothing to do with relationships, right? It's just, okay, cool.
No, Cody Stutes and I used to have a show together called Chemistry with Courtney, actually. That's the backstory on that. Yes.
Was it like biology and also like, math? No.
Was Cody your guinea pig to just throw
Cody
out there?
Cody actually came up with that name. I will give him props to that.
Okay.
Yes.
Notice that he didn't put his own name in the...
Wait. So Cody did a show about relationships?
So they had me on and grilled me about relationships.
Oh, okay. Yes. I thought you were trying to sell me a bill of goods that Cody was a relationship expert.
Yeah.
Don't do it, Joel. I know you want to make jokes about what relationships.
No,
don't do
it. I won't. I was just getting curious every time you guys had those discussions, was there a third guy in the background going,
yes!
Just thought I'd take a shot at it.
He makes fun of John Lopez.
I don't know what you're talking about. You always do that. Gee.
I just like getting him in trouble.
Yeah. Fine.
Oh, my goodness. Courtney, thank you so much.
Have a great week.
Best. Guys, go follow her on Twitter and tell her thank you for that because it was outstanding.
And don't beg for shirts, okay?
Yeah.
You did enough of that last night, but we appreciate y'all. All right, we're going to continue to roll on. That's the first half of the show. Still a second half to go. That means 90 more minutes on the clock. Sarah Barshop, the Texans beat reporter for ESPN, is going to join us at some point. And, of course, your phone calls and messages. So 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line, call, text. Hit us on Twitter. Second half comes up next right here on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, second half of the show starts right now. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It's an F Yeah Friday, as we have been having some fun here on the show the day after the Listener Appreciation Party, catching you up on a lot of different things that happened in the sporting world with breaking news, catching you up on kind of a recap of what happened last night, just like having Courtney on, who put the whole thing together with the Listener Appreciation Party, and of course, a little Astros, a little Rockets, and a little Texans, as we had Cody Stutes on. Planned for your 3 o'clock hour that Sarah Barshop, the beat writer for the Texans for ESPN, will be joining us at some point during that hour, so that'll be good. Keep tuned for that. And in the meantime, we've been a little delinquent on the digital side of things because we've been very vocal heavy.
Yeah, Cowboy Trav wants to know how he can get a shirt. He's going to be out of commission for a couple months. Dude, that's going to be difficult, man. We'll see what we can do, but that's kind of the thing that they wanted to use the shirts for, as part of it is promotion and showing up. So we'll see what we can do, but no promises on that. And then I remember this. So last night at the party, somebody came up to me and said, hey, you need to start calling out your listeners because I've seen a bunch of them go in and out of the restroom and not wash their hands. Oh, boy. And I was like, name names, because they all got name tags on. So send me a list of names and I'll read them on the air. So he didn't send names, but he sent descriptions. So if I'm describing you, just know I hate your guts for not washing your hands. But it said, the text says, hey, Barry, please call out the people not washing hands after going to the restroom. I saw two. One guy was really tall, dressed in a suit. Really tall white guy in a suit. I'm trying to remember who was
Brad, Booker T's co-host.
Was he in a suit?
He was, wasn't he?
Is he tall?
He's tall and he's got like the big hair.
Oh, I don't know. And the other guy was a Mexican dude with longish hair with an Arya Stark shirt on. This is just nasty. Who had on the Arya Stark shirt?
I don't know that I saw that.
I don't know. And then the other thing that I forgot was La Raza was trying to get me to fight OU Mike. He wouldn't leave me alone about it. I was like,
OU Mike wasn't there, right?
No. But he's like, you need to call him out and fight him. I was like, I'm not doing that. I don't want to give that dude any run. Like, he's literally...
We just did.
But now I'm just bringing up the point. He's dead to me. He's dead to the show. We've moved on. We're past all that. He's no longer a part of what we do. He's on the other shows and calls in, and that's great. But he wouldn't let it go. I was like, dude. And then he kept bringing up, we'll put AJ and White Magic. I was like, yeah, we're not. I'm not doing that. I don't care about OU Mike one way or the other. So He tried, though. He kept telling me, but your wife is Mexican. You have to stand up for La Raza. You are part of the La Raza now. He was so funny. He's an awesome dude, by the way.
He is a crapster.
Yeah, he is. But he's a funny dude. Great dude. So it was, and I had never met him before, at least that I remember, because I might have been drunk last time I met him. But it was cool to meet him. It was cool to meet him and others. So it was a lot of fun. And somebody said, I had such a great time last night. Thank you. I love being able to take pictures with my boyfriend at the party. Cowboys and Indians was amazing. Everything was perfect. So
Nick, you had chicks taking pictures with you?
It was a hit.
I don't know.
Hmm?
I thought that Nick was taking pictures with chicks if she said, I love taking pictures with my boyfriend.
Oh. I don't know.
Okay. Nick, were you taking pictures with chicks last night?
No, I was not.
Okay. Because someone just said they love taking pictures with their boyfriend. I was like, are you not telling us something you holding out?
My boyfriend.
No, like she was taking pictures with you, not like, yeah.
No, I mean, I don't think, I think probably the only female I took a picture with, if I remember, is Pope, but Aaron was in it, like her husband was in the picture too, so.
Yeah, the Popes got there late, but they made up for lost time.
For sure.
They did.
In a big hurry, but they were also smart, and I believe they got a hotel and stayed here in town instead of driving back to the B.
That's a long-ass drive.
That's a smart move.
Yeah. I wanted to start naming everybody that came out, but then I was like, if we do that, we're going to forget it. But it was, I think everybody showed up that was on my list. I know AR Platinum was here, but he didn't come up and say hi.
I saw him.
He said, he was like, I saw you. You were busy.
He was sitting next to the officers. I was like, I'll catch up with him later.
Oh, was he?
Say hi. He had his shirt on.
Nice. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. So
I'm glad
to hear that everybody to a person had a good time.
So I wanted to bring this up for you guys, a late add to everything we were putting together for today's show, but it definitely could not go unnoticed. We know, and we've talked about in the past on this show and other shows, Rex Ryan has a bit of a foot fetish.
Yes.
And you remember over the course of time, there was the thing about his wife's feet. There was the thing about when they were out at bars. I think he and his brother were getting hammered. I think it was in Nashville, and they were talking about people's feet, chicks' feet, things like that. So he's been known to be a foot fetish guy, right?
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
Okay, so he fills in this morning on your favorite show, Get Up.
Okay.
And Sam Ponder's on there from their NFL studio show.
Oh, no.
And Greeny. And Sam Ponder's been on all week. And every time they go to the Antonio Brown story, she gets grossed out because she said it's a breakfast-oriented show, and to show those feet is disgusting and gross, and people are going to lose their appetite, and it's terrible. But I did not expect the following to happen when they had Sam, Greeny, and then Rex join the discussion.
That was Bobby Carpenter explaining that every year that he played in the NFL, he would have his toenails
removed. Why are we doing this again?
Before the season began, so they wouldn't just get smashed up, and then they would just sort of grow in at their own pace over the course of the year.
This is a morning show.
I understand that.
Okay,
most people probably don't.
We gotta quit talking about feet and toenails while people are eating their Cheerios.
All right.
Well, let's not talk about feet.
Daniel Jones.
Oh my gosh.
I was gonna say.
With that, we wrap up what's been a terrific week. Rex, I'll never see you again. The Little League World Series is next on ESPN. Enjoy it all day long.
It was just fantastic.
That is outstanding.
She literally walked off the set while she was saying that. And then you could see Rex's face, and you could see, like, Jordan Rogers, Aaron's brother, was the other guest commentator. And he's staring across the desk at Rex. And Rex just starts to get uncomfortable, and he's got two ways to go. He can just sit there and be embarrassed, or he can say, and I thought he handled it really well.
Who was the chick?
So it was Sam Ponder.
I'm surprised he didn't ask to see her feet. That's what I was expecting. I really thought the audio, because I hadn't heard it yet, I really thought the audio was going to be like, well, you know, what do you got to hide? You got bad feet? Let's see them. I was really expecting that, which would have been super creepy of Rex to do. He definitely played that the right way.
He did. But then Greeny at the end, funny. Too, to go, I'll probably never see you again. But I thought, you know what? Actually, I think you'll see more of him because of it, because he handled it better than being awkward, embarrassed, silent guy.
That's great.
But it was really funny. That was a great way to wrap up the week.
Speaking of that, Holly showed up last night, and she had a dress on, and I don't know what kind of
shoes
you call
it. She was extremely underdressed.
She was very underdressed for the. I'm like, what are you slumming? But she had on these heels that, I mean, you could see her toes. And she's the one that brought up the whole white toes right, and what that right, means. Right. And if a girl has white toes, that means she's good
white
in
toenails.
Bed. White toenails. That mm-hmm. means she's good in bed. So we she showed up and she wanted to wear Vans. I was like, well, why didn't you wear them? She was like, because I knew everybody was going to be looking at my toes. So she had to go get the pedicure done. Yeah, she's like the resident foot expert here.
Yeah. Ollie. So then Lauren Pope
I saw that
takes
too.
A picture of her foot this morning in the hotel and posts that. And then all the guys were like, uh-oh, Holly, look at that. That's white. Look, and then ATX Hobo Girl, Dez, has to come in and goes, typical men, that's not white.
We don't know.
It's not even the right color.
The hell do we know?
We just see that's something close funny. And our mind does the rest, and there you go.
Rex, that's the good of Rex, man. That's funny that he just owned it like that.
Yeah, so that was pretty funny stuff. I wanted to run that by you guys because I was like, I'm sitting there watching it live, and I was laughing, going, man, this is...
That was this morning?
I was watching it live on the internet, so I assume it was this morning, but I just saw, the minute I saw the clip, I was like, oh, we got to talk about that.
Yeah.
Because if all you got to do is Google Rex Ryan and feet.
Oh, man.
And, yeah. There's some he's known. Let's just put it that
him,
way.
Who do you think is a bigger known foot fetishist, him or Quentin Tarantino?
I didn't know about Quentin Tarantino.
Really?
Yeah, no. Uh-uh.
Every movie that Quentin Tarantino makes, there's a plethora of foot scenes.
I did not know that.
Oh yeah, he's like one of the most well-known foot fetishists in Hollywood.
Really?
Think about it. Like Kill Bill, he shows Uma Thurman's feet. Dusk Till Dawn, doesn't he drink something off of Selma Hayek's toes? Like she pours something down her leg.
Does he personally do it?
Yeah, he wrote himself into that scene so he could suck Selma Hayek's toes.
So I was going to say, it's one thing to write yourself a cameo into your film.
And he does.
But to write yourself into a fantasy
that
you
can
get.
Toe sucking scene.
Isn't that illegal?
No. Because, I mean, it was not the first time in a movie that somebody sucked a toe. So
how many private screenings do you think he does of his own films after that? I mean,
I wonder if that is weird. Is that weird if you
that's gotta
pleasure
be weird
yourself
if people
to
know
you?
What your fetish is, and then you write a movie and you write into it a scene where you get to live out a fantasy
well, no,
with your fetish.
I don't think that's weird. What I'm suggesting would be weird is if you watched yourself living out your fetish and pleasured yourself to it. Is that I mean
how
to write
you
your,
not think that's weird
no,
though.
If you had a fantasy and you had the opportunity to write it into a movie and then be a part of it, most dudes would be like, yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
But most of society would be like, that's illegal.
No, that's not illegal.
Well, not illegal. It's just creepy.
Okay, but it's
so,
also...
Okay, Rex Ryan is writing a movie.
I'll see where this goes.
And
see,
so he's
thing.
Writing a movie that involves this, and he writes the movie and it involves this scene where at the end of what we just heard, he takes Sam Ponder's shoe off and drink champagne out of it while massaging her toes. That's creepy because you know he's a foot guy.
But here's the thing, Joel. If this was the very first time, like if they had a fetish that had never been seen in a movie before, maybe so. But there have been plenty of scenes in movies where someone has sucked on a girl's toe or drank from her shoe or whatever.
Fine. So but what if a pattern develops and he does it over several films?
Well,
that's
Tarantino.
Creepy.
There is a pattern with Tarantino, but
I didn't know that. But that's,
but that's. I think we're burying the lead here. What I want to know is it creepy to pleasure yourself watching yourself live out that fantasy? Is that creepy?
I don't think it's creepy. I think it's natural.
Wait, now I think that's creepy. I think writing yourself into a scene.
I think if you're creepy
no
enough
deal.
To write
but
it into a scene, if you
yourself,
relive it and you're able to watch it, then you're just doing what you do.
You don't think that's creepy?
I think that's
Nick.
That's
break the
him
tie.
Just living his best life.
Break the tie for us here, okay? Joel thinks it's creepy if you were writing a movie. Let's say you had a foot fetish like Tarantino, and you just wrote a scene where you suck Selma Hayek's toes. He thinks that's creepy, and I say, well, that's been done before, so you're just taking an opportunity to suck Selma Hayek's toes for art. I say it's creepy if you were pleasuring yourself watching that scene, and Joel says no.
Because we already know you have a fetish.
Which one is more creepy?
The latter, honestly.
Oh, stop.
For sure.
Of course.
For sure.
Why?
I always knew Nick was the smart one on this show.
We already know you have a fetish, right? So if you got to write in your own fantasy and live it.
Big
and
deal.
To relive it, you just watch the film. What's that at that point?
No, you're pleasuring yourself to you living the fantasy on film.
Yeah, like you're watching it
weird,
on a screen.
But all it is just like reliving a family reunion. I mean, you what? I mean, it's like
a family reunion.
You had a great time one time, and instead of just having to watch the video of the family reunion, you go, hey, you know what?
You that pleasure was a fantasy. Yourself to videos of your family reunion?
Oh, God, here we go. And at that point, it's probably a good time to step away. Yeah. We'll continue to roll on. Hour number two, 3-hour show. Again, Sarah Barshop will join us in the 3 o'clock hour. Talk Texans and Lions and everything Saturday night surrounding the Texans. So stay tuned for that. But we've got plenty more to get to. And again, if you want to join the show, 713-780-3776. HRNP listener line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Back with more right here on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, final segment of the second hour of the show. That means we've got one more after this to go, so we're going to continue to roll on having some fun here on a Friday on The Usual Suspects, day after the listener appreciation party on an FEF Friday, doing what we do, and hopefully you're along with us too. That's always a good thing. Wrapping up your work week, getting ready for the weekend. Big plans this weekend?
Not really.
No?
No. I mean, I got, you know, just typical boring married life stuff. Weekend off. I had a gig that fell through, so weekend off, just doing yard work and trying to catch up on some writing and stuff. You?
Skeeters game tonight with
the
family. Oh,
that's right. You and Nick are going to go hang out.
Nick's going.
Yeah, I guess I'll see you tonight.
Yeah. Yep. So we're all going to be at the Skeeters game.
What time is that game start, by the way?
I think 7:05, 7:15, something like that.
Okay. I will definitely be there.
Yep, me too.
Love that venue.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Are y'all sitting together or just going separately?
In the same vicinity.
Okay.
Correct.
Yeah.
All right.
Taylor's going to see some fireworks for the first time, hopefully.
Hey, there you go.
She's excited about that. I took her to school today, and I was like, you want to go to the baseball game tonight? Yes, I do, Daddy. That'll be fun. Maybe they will have fireworks, too. And I was like, oh, they got them. We're just going to see if Mommy's going to make it through long enough to let you see them. But regardless, yeah, we'll check out the baseball game tonight, so that'll be cool.
Yeah.
Other than that, just laid back. Nick, any big plans?
Tonight, I will do the Skeeters game. Tomorrow, I'm going to a gala.
Oh, wow.
But I'm pretty busy. I'm going to the Skeeters game I'm looking forward to. Tomorrow's event, I'm looking forward to it too. I just don't want to be drinking too much, man. I'm trying to cut back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You getting all dolled up tomorrow night? Suit and everything?
Tuxedo?
I don't think I have to wear a suit. I asked her and she said, "Yeah, you might have to wear a suit," but she hasn't given me the complete dress code.
Well, if you're in a bind, just go to Forever 21. You can probably get a good deal on one.
Knowing my cheap ass, I'll be at H&M.
What's that?
He said he's just going to go to your closet.
Yeah,
he
could do that too. Yeah.
That's possible.
That'd just be big and baggy on him.
So last segment, we were talking foot fetish. Holly already tweeted us. It was the greatest segment ever. Shocker.
Of course.
And Jessica wants to get in here on foot fetish. Jessica, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hi, Jessica.
Hi, how are you?
Very good. What did you want to talk about?
I was going to say, what is the difference of him watching himself on video than it is to, like, imagine it when he's jerking off? Like, seriously, like, what would be the difference? So why is that weird?
Well, Jessica, you can't say that word, so we got to cut you. I think that
I didn't put it like that, but that's kind of what I was getting at asking you,
the,
I think.
The gist of the question.
See.
I said gist. Uh-huh. That's...
I see what you did.
That's just a word.
Mm-hmm.
The gist of the question from Jessica was, I believe, what's the difference if you just imagine sucking Selma Hayek's toe in your head and masturbate to that versus watching yourself actually suck her toe and still pleasure yourself? That was the question. She's like, what's the difference? Because I think one of them is, you know, you're using your imagination, and the other one is, like, I can't imagine porn stars when they watch porn. Do they watch their own videos?
I don't think, like,
that's
as
kind
a
of the
general
same thing,
rule.
Though.
No, it's not the same thing.
So if you, okay, well, not, I don't want to use you. That's not. If,
thanks.
If in general, if a person, how about mm-hmm, that? Mm-hmm. If a person made a sex tape with their wife or husband, do they then pleasure themselves to said sex tape? And is that okay?
Now, I mean, I don't know who determines, is that okay? But I would say this. I don't think it's just a, I mean, if it was a great experience, they might. But I think more so than anything else.
I don't want to see myself naked. I really, I feel bad for my wife. I don't want to see, I don't want to see me naked. That's certainly not a turn on. I don't like if I'm going to watch something, I don't want to watch me. That's weird.
But I think like Jessica's
point. But
that's
just me.
Look, I mean, so say, and you can go write down your list of categories, right?
Okay.
But say if someone has a what? A secret office fantasy, right?
And, okay.
And they look, they go on sites to see what that's their thing. Okay? So like she's saying, they have an imagination about it. So when they're not on the sites doing that or otherwise, they're thinking about it. So if you're able to live out that fantasy, not just having sex with someone on tape, but you live out that specific fantasy and you have access to be able to go back and look at it again and you know that that was when you actually got to fulfill one of your fantasies, would you not?
I don't think I would.
Okay.
Because again, I don't know that I would feel awkward watching myself live out that fantasy.
You could live life with blinders on in other ways. You could just not look at you.
No, because I'm totally going to be watching me. You know my ego.
That's
true. If I'm watching a sex tape with me in it, I'm watching me in the sex tape.
True. You'd still be wearing skinny jeans or something.
Probably. Probably. I don't know, Jessica. I mean, it's a valid point that she makes that what's the difference? But I think the difference is one is using your imagination and the other one is actually watching yourself having done it already.
I think it's the same point I was trying to make with you when you were saying
no,
but I just didn't phrase it as eloquently as she did.
Your point was basically there's nothing wrong with it.
I didn't say there's nothing wrong with it. Okay, see, you put words in my mouth all the time.
Tell this man he's trying to backtrack.
No, don't use Nick to validate your manipulation.
No, you're backtracking. You're hitting that rewind button.
Nope, no, I'm not. No, I'm not.
Very convenient. Very convenient.
That was a rewind button.
Thanks, Jessica. Sorry we had to dump you, but you can't. There's certain words you can't say on air, and you said one of them. So It wasn't that dirty. I mean,
you would have allowed it.
I would have totally allowed it. Nicholas and the powers that be, no. So
Nick has other motives involved. Like, he works for the, and he knows right from wrong. So he did the right thing there.
Okay.
Let's be clear about that.
Oh, no. Yeah.
All right, so just about ready to wrap up the second hour of the show. That means in the final 60 minutes, we're going to talk a little bit of football because Sarah Barshop's going to join us. So she's going to come on the show. She's the beat writer for ESPN that covers the Texans. So we'll get a little bit of the Clowney information, maybe the latest from her on that, and some other things surrounding the game and the practices with the Lions. What's that for?
So, no.
No, you made the face. Go ahead.
I was just... I don't want to move past this without reading this. That's the thing.
Okay.
Like, we're moving on from the foot fetish thing, right?
Go ahead.
But someone said, hey, Barry and Joel, I think you guys are mixing up fetish and fantasy. Fantasy is usually something that's out of reach. Fetish is just something that you enjoy. I have a slight foot fetish, and when I have sex with my wife, I suck her toes. Not a fantasy, just a kink that I like.
Okay, respond to him and say, now, after you've done it with your wife, if you have it on film, would you watch it?
That's the million-dollar question. I understand what a fetish
is. Text us back and tell us if you had the opportunity to
watch
the video of you in that act with your wife again, would you?
Not would you watch it. Would you pleasure yourself?
Would you watch it and take care of business?
While you watched it. That's the weird part.
There you go.
We move on.
We'll wait for that response with bated breath. Okay, so that's about hour number two. I said Sarah Barshop's going to join us. And again, you can too. HRP listener line is open for you, 713-780-3776. You can text that number. You can call that number. Or if you'd like, you can hit us up on Twitter, where it's at the producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, and at Barry is funny. It's the final 60 minutes, and it's coming up next right here on ESPN 97.5.